Those photographs of Vladimir Putin that circulated over the weekend should be taken seriously, even accounting for the fact that Russian state media has historically manipulated imagery in both directions. Multiple independent analysts who study public health indicators in authoritarian regimes have noted the visible weight loss, the pallor, and what appears to be a change in posture compared to images from 18 months ago. We don't have clinical data. But when a dictator who controls total information flow starts appearing visibly diminished in official photographs, something is being communicated, either inadvertently or deliberately.
The succession question in Russia is genuinely dangerous in a way that's underappreciated in Western commentary. Putin has structured the Russian state to be entirely dependent on his personal authority. There are no institutional succession mechanisms that have been credibly established. The Siloviki, the security services, have competing factions. The oligarchs who survived the 2022 purges are watching closely. A sudden power vacuum in a nuclear state with an ongoing war in Ukraine is among the more alarming scenarios in contemporary geopolitics.
And that Ukraine dimension connects directly to the operational news from this weekend. A Ukrainian drone strike killed at least 13 people at an energy hub in Tatarstan, a region that's roughly 1,000 kilometers from the front lines, deep in the Russian heartland. This is the same region that produces significant petrochemical output. That strike, combined with the Bank of Russia's emergency guidance urging lenders to extend credit to firms hit by Ukraine's warehouse strikes, tells you that the Russian economy is absorbing real supply chain damage.
The Bank of Russia intervention is worth slowing down on. When a central bank issues emergency guidance about lending to war-damaged businesses, it's essentially acknowledging publicly that the strikes are creating financial stress serious enough to require a policy response. That's a significant admission. It also tells you the warehouse strikes, which have been a consistent Ukrainian tactic targeting logistics and storage, are hitting their intended targets with enough frequency to destabilize credit relationships between businesses and their lenders.
And then Zelensky's statement that Ukraine could have domestically produced ballistic missiles capable of striking Russia by this fall, that's a strategic signal as much as a military one. He's telling Western partners that Ukraine doesn't need indefinite foreign weapons supply to maintain escalatory pressure. He's telling Moscow that the strike threat is going to increase, not decrease, over time. And he's telling his domestic audience that Ukrainian defense industry has made progress worth being proud of.
There's a Kremlin-linked story from this weekend that has a dark absurdism to it. A newspaper with ties to the Kremlin published a piece essentially telling FBI Director Kash Patel to come bearing gifts before his planned October trip to Moscow. The phrase has an obvious connotation. It's the language of tribute. And the fact that this appeared in a Kremlin-adjacent outlet isn't accidental. These papers serve as a testing ground for negotiating positions, a way to float expectations without diplomatic consequence. The message to Washington is that any engagement with Russian officials will be transactional on Moscow's terms.
Which also intersects with the FBI Agents Association backing a lawsuit against Patel's firing practices, with the Bureau's legal office simultaneously facing budget cuts. The FBI's institutional capacity to manage any Russia engagement is being hollowed out from the inside, while external pressure comes from the Kremlin side. That's a genuinely difficult place for any meaningful counterintelligence operation to function from.